One night, my older sister was in bed already. Ukraine drunk soldiers just walked into the apartment. They pushed the door down. My mother and my sister and I jumped out the window and ran to a somewhere in some kind of a farm. My older sister was in bed, didn't have time to get out, so she went under the bed. And guess what? Pulled her out and raped her. She came out and she found us in the, what was it, an orchard, and there was a greenhouse there. I didn't know at that time, but then I found out that she was raped. So now we're walking, want to go home. So we are in the city of Dresden. And all the bridges are down. And all the railroads are down. So the only thing you could do is get on a boat and be in front of every bridge. You get out, go across to the other side and take another boat. And then finally we got on a train and got to Prague. I mean, it took forever. We got to Prague, and then in Prague there was an, like in every big city in Europe, there was an organization, the Red Cross and the Jewish Joint something or other, where all the refugees came back to see who survived, and they put the names on the walls and pictures and all that. And then they sent that there was a big, it was like a hospital outside of town where they were dormitories for us to stay in, to have somewhere to sleep. They had a kitchen to feed us. So we were there, and one day my two sisters decided to go into Prague, and they came back with an officer, a Czechoslovakian officer from the Czechoslovakian brigade of the Russian army. It turned out that he was a guy from our hometown who was one of the first ones who walked into liberated Prague. He had a gorgeous apartment. He came, he picked us up and put us in that apartment. So finally he married my sister, but anyhow, that's beside the point. It was a happy occasion. And okay, now the law, a new law came out in Prague, and everybody wanted to stay in Prague. Nobody wanted to go home into the woods, into the little villages, where there's nothing there. A law came out that everybody must go back where they come from. Well, my mother said, no way. So, what are you gonna do? She has to get rid. My sister was already at that time married to this Czech officer, so she was no problem. My other sister was engaged to a Slovak partisan, a Jewish young man. So they were okay, and mother was okay because she was their mother. What to do with me and my little older brother, year and a half older, I was the youngest. So they were taking children to different countries for rehab. They were taking them to Sweden, to Canada, to United Kingdom. So my grandfather was a very well respected gentleman, my mother's father. And my brother was too old to go because they only took people to 15 years. So she pulled some strings because of my grandfather, and they took us to England. 100 children, 50 boys and 50 girls. By train through Europe, beginning of 1946. So anyhow, went to London, make it short. They fed us, they made us go to school. We lived in a shelter, 50 girls and 50 boys in dormitories. They took care of us. We went to school, they paid for all the expenses. They gave us pocket money, 10 shillings a week. And they supported us until we were able to make £4 a week. That was anything below £4, they made up. They paid the difference. So, and we created a youth club called Primrose Jewish Youth Club for the kids from the concentration camp. We had a cafeteria there. They had an office where I used to type envelopes and file, all that. And one day, a friend of mine from, she was also in the same place where we were, she said to me, "Why don't you look for a job as an office, in an office?" I said, "I'm not qualified. How can I?" She said, "I got a job as a clerk. You know, you make the tea, you file, you run errands, a gopher." So I said, "Okay." Now, she said that you can go to a travel agency. It's called the Sabbath Observant Agency, where you don't have to work on a Sabbath, so you only work 5 days a week. I said, "That's a great idea," even though I was not religious. So I went, and they sent me to all kinds of places, but not where I wanted to go. They sent me to cleaners, they sent me to, I don't even know. Finally, they sent me to this office. This you gotta hear. Big building, a chemical import and export company, and I go up there, and I'm afraid, I'm petrified. And I ring the bell, and there's a waiting room, and out comes the boss. The receptionist said, "Just a minute," and boss comes out. Real pudgy old gentleman, red cheeks with a stiff collar, you know, British, very British. And he asks me, what's my qualification, and how much do I want to make? I said, "Well, I helped in the club, I typed letter, you know." And when I told him, somebody told me a figure to say when they asked me how much I want to make, and he said, "Well, isn't that much for someone who is not qualified?" So I shrugged my shoulder, what am I going to say? So he said, "Just a minute." He comes back, he says, "My father wants to see you." I said, "Oh my God, you look like this, I can imagine what your father looks like." This is my thought. I walk into this office, and there's a little man sitting behind a desk with a beard and a skull cap, a yarmulke. His hands are all gnarled. You know, he's an old man. And he gets up to shake hands with me, and he says, "How are you, my child? Where are you from?" Well, my life changed. He sat there, and he asked me questions, and he said to me, "You have a job. But don't tell anyone how much you're making, how much we are paying you." He sent me to Pittman College and paid the tuition, shorthand typing, bookkeeping. And he said, "You know, your Jewish education lacks a lot." I said, "But Mr. Weil, my education altogether was disrupted when I was little." He adored me and his wife. He had two sons, the one I met, and another one, a CPA, who was in Israel, who moved to Israel, he's got an office there. And they wanted to adopt me. He shared his lunch with me, which was horrible. They had a cook that was terrible. I used to have to go there for weekends, and I hated it because I couldn't smoke, and I had to go to synagogue. And that wasn't my thing. And I made all kinds of excuses for a long time, but every once in a while I had to go. As I said, she was a lousy cook. Anyhow, I worked there for 5 years. I had to use his dentist, his doctor, didn't cost me a penny. And if I would sit and take dictation from him, and I would sigh, he would say, okay, that's enough, we'll continue later. He did not want me to overwork. If I sighed, that's danger. "Hey, did you eat?" And he was just so good to me. And his wife, Olga, they wanted a daughter so badly. I said, "I can't, because I have a mother." So anyhow, this was 1946. Okay? Started in 1946.